Wrestling Daft presents The Daft Sheet.
Right, hello guys. It's a different voice coming to your ears to start this time. It's Lewis McNaughton, usual correspondent, usual contributor of bullshit. I'm taking the reins this week as a producer for a couple of reasons. First reason, obviously welcome to the Daft Sheet. Be as well getting that out in the open nice and early. Right, so first reason I'm doing it is because unfortunately last week Steve told everyone to keep their weeks shitty. So he's been future endeavoured. His contract's come up with the podcast and he'll no longer be here. Second reason, I've jobbed out on the quiz 2 weeks in a row and I really just can't be arsed getting beat for a third time. So I'm taking the reins of the quiz as well. So, but no. Unlike me, Chris, Brian, every other wrestling fan, Steve actually has better things to do this week than speak to a couple of dafties. So he's away for this week. He's occupied, but I'm sure he'll be back on next week or the week after that. But joining us this week is the usual head of the show. It's a Vince Russo with this podcast. Don't know if he'll be happy with me calling him that, but it's Chris Jack. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks, bro. That's quite the intro. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the Vince Russo. I'll take that approach. I'm just branching off to do a racially sensitive podcast on the side as well. So yeah, I'll take the Vince Russo digs, I suppose.
Right, alongside me and Chris this week, maybe give him a bit more of a nice intro. It's Chris Van Vliet of this podcast. He is the TNA interviewer himself. He's done more TNA interviews in the last few weeks than I've had hot dinners. It's Brian Strachan. How's it going, bud?
You're some right. People even call me Billy Strachan. I am.
I was thinking of Gordon Strachan for a second there. Did I call you Brian?
I've been called worse. But yeah.
We'll go with Brian. But we'll go with Brian.
Yeah, why not?
Nah, sorry, Brian.
But no, I'm back. I did the first two episodes.
Welcome, Billy Strachan.
I did the first two episodes and now I've somehow been drafted back in here. I don't know how it happened, but here I am.
You're the OG, Billy. You're the OG. You're on the pilot as well.
I was. Yeah, I tanked everyone in the pilot, and then I lost on the second episode, and I was like, fuck this, I'm not coming back.
You lost your name as well. I'm Vince McMahon. I'm changing everyone's first name. you had a hectic couple of months, have you? All the TNA stuff. How's that been going?
I don't know how I've managed to do that. I think I pestered the press team to try and get Joe Hendry on the podcast that often. They just went, fuck it, we'll just stick you on the press pass stuff. That'll shut you up for a bit. And yeah, I've had Will Ospreay most recently. I've had Moose, Deonna Purrazzo, Gil Kim, and Alex Shelley. And I've been able to ask them at least one question, which, you know, that'll do.
It was quite a surreal thing doing that chat last week, Billy. We've got the excerpts from the Will Ospreay chat, my question and your question from it anyway, as the centrefold this week. Spoilers, sorry Lewis. But when we get to that, I mean, we can discuss, you know, just the kind of the logistics of it, because it's quite a weird thing being in those media calls sometimes.
Sometimes they are, and it's the last ones have been fine. The one with the beautiful people was the weirdest one because it overran for time, and they kept answering like 10 minutes answering one question, and I was sitting there going, "I'm not getting a question in here. There's no chance." And I think it was the second last one. It was the penultimate question. I thought, oh, thank God, I haven't sat for here for an hour and a half staring at Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. What a terrible evening I've had to try and get a question. So, it's just a weird experience in general.
But right, makes for good content.
Absolutely. Right, so we'll get into it. Since we've got our new guest, Billy's been on before, but this is Brian's first time. we'll go for another little icebreaker. The icebreaker this week, keep it nice and simple. What we'll do is the traditional table of four, we'll call it. If you guys had three wrestlers, AEW, Impact, or TNA now, WWE, whatever promotion you want, We'll say dead as well, because we can be morbid like that on this podcast. Who would you choose? It can be anyone from Hornswoggle, just to give you a little giggle, to Papa Shango like last week. We'll start with Billy. Go for it.
I was going to pick three dead folk because that means I get more food because I'm a fat bastard. But I chose the New Day. I think that was because
that was going to be mine.
I don't know if you remember during the pandemic stuff, WWE tried to do podcasting and they had the Alexa Bliss one, which was ace, but it only had like four episodes. And then they still had the Corey Graves one, but the New Day one was just an absolute riot every week because it would end up just be the three of them slagging each other off. And what's not to enjoy? And plus, the three of them have different dynamics. You've got Big E, of course, big man slapping meat. He's going to get a big slap of steak in there. You've got Kofi, the vegetarian. He's going to have something probably a bit different, but I bet it's going to taste nice. You've got Xavier as well. He's probably going to have some goose gran as well. So, you know, I'm not one of a sharer, but I'd like to see their plates and go, maybe I'll have a bit of that as well.
Are you cooking for them, or are these ordering them?
Oh, yeah, ordering.
Because that's quite the Uber Eats order you're putting in there to cater for everybody.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's getting brought. It's like table for three. It's like get the mysterious man coming with the plate every so often. That'll do me.
Class.
Right, what about you, Chris?
I think just for the sheer brazenness of being able to organise it, you know, it being my fantasy dinner, I would take the man you compared me to earlier on, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, and Tony Khan. Just get them and see if they can break bread in a nice way, and see if they can talk shit to each other's faces as opposed to just tweeting.
I think somebody had storm off quite early on in that. Tony Khan.
I didn't mean Bischoff. I meant Cornette. That's what I meant. Give Vince Russo and Jim Cornette to eat dinner, and Tony Khan can mediate.
Tony Khan's in the toilets crying do something. I'm assuming crying.
He's fearing for his life, and that's what he's doing there. But I think that'd be quite an interesting one. And just like you say, Billy, we picking deed guys so you can get all the food. I don't imagine much would be getting it. That one either. So I would just take all the chicken wings, all the buffalo wings, and anything else that was.
Bet Cornette has a mega burger order though. He's quite infamous for his burgers.
Is it Wendy's? Order through Wendy's for them, just specifically for him. The last time I was in Canada, I went to Wendy's for the first time. In fact, was it last time? It was one of the times I was in Canada. Anyway, it was the first time I went to Wendy's at Niagara Falls, and they do square burgers, like instead of it being like a regular burger, it's square. And then I was eating, I was thinking, this is just square sausage. It's just like Wendy's are just doing a higher beef content square sausage. That's all it is.
I don't know if this is reminding me of when John left Grado and Rab to do the zooming everyone by themselves. But I'm sitting here on 1:48 of the video. That's all I've got so far. Is that? Do you reckon that's just a slow internet for me?
Probably is. Is it saying that you're at 99% uploading?
Aye, all that.
Aye, that's fine then. That's fine.
We're keeping this
Oh, aye. We'll keep. You're getting to peek behind the curtain this week.
Breaking kayfabe for a second. Right. Okay. So we'll go. We'll go traditional. We will go to the front page as always first. It is the biggest story in wrestling. Whether it is the biggest story, who knows? It's just what's piqued our interest more than anything else this week. So, as you are the person who's been on least out of me and Chris so far, you can go first. Maybe steal Chris's answer again. Who knows?
So
what would you put in your
mind? Mine's not really like a big story. It's that piquing the interest one. That's kind of what it's it's got as. The Undertaker is trying to steal your guys' jobs. He's trying to steal Grado's job. He's trying to steal Rab's job by setting up a Patreon for his 6 Feet Under podcast. And I can't think of anything I'd want to listen to less. There was a thing, I think it was Kayfabe News put up a thing saying wrestler that stayed quiet for 30 years will now not shut up. And that feels like, why? What, is Michelle McCool that much of an arse at home that he's got to now do all these endeavours to stay away from home? But you know, Undertaker, 6 feet under, £4.50, you can get a Q&A every Wednesday with the dead man himself. How exciting is that?
It seems like it's... I don't think now's the right time for it. You know, you'd have maybe thought, you know, after his retirement, you know, capitalise on that, you know, when everyone's still got his in-ring legacy fresh in the mind. But, I mean, since he's retired, you know, he had that mad interview with, like, a priest or something. He did, like, it's some, like, Christian podcast that he appeared on. He's been papped in, was it Aberdeen Nando's he was in as well? So, like, a lot of the mystique has, like, dropped away for Big Marky Mark in the last couple of years. I would maybe give the first couple of episodes a listen just to see what the format is and see if there's anything we can poach. But other than that, I don't think I'd be interested. I mean, like, I know that Dexter was quite good, but I don't know if a podcast by Mark Calloway talking about a dark comedy about a funeral parlour that is up my street, really.
The best thing is, because I followed it.
That's a joke about there being a TV show called 6 Feet Under that the guy for Dexter used to be in. For all the 6 Feet Under fans listening to this,
I did wonder you're talking about Dexter, because, like, I remember Dexter. I don't understand the rest of it. I'm too young for that, clearly. But no, the best thing is if you follow him, he's obviously sends an email, or he doesn't, but the Patreon sends an email. It just says, "Mark, follow our podcast now." I'm like, fuck off, Undertaker, you call me a Mark. You're the one set up Patreon for... No, we have done that as well. Anyway. Patreon. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, it's just weird. It's odd.
Is Undertaker really down in these hard times to set up a Patreon? Surely that Legends contract he's on is paying him mega bucks.
I know, it's just money-grabbing.
I mean, he had to go in NXT the other week there, so it can't be that good.
Michelle McCool wants an injection.
But, like, she's one. He's doing the Peter Kay thing. My mum wants a new bungalow. McCool wants a new kitchen. But, and again, going back to, like, his kind of old school sensibilities and whatnot, like, see if this had been a few years ago. There's no way that he would have launched the Patreon, because he was, you know, giving off about all the boys instead of going out and banging whores and taking ching. They're sitting at home playing video games and Twitch and doing their podcasts and stuff like that. So he's clearly had a change of heart with regards to, you know, what the boys should be doing.
What were you then, Chris? What would you go for front page?
So front page
that rivals the Undertaker. Grabbing £4 off the common man.
Is that what it is?
£4.50.
£4. I see the fifty p's putting off. I think to bury the Undertaker or bury the lead rather in journalistic terms. I think the bigger story this week on what is going to be quite an Impact heavy podcast is the fact that Impact announced either at Bound for Glory or just after Bound for Glory that they are reverting back to being called Total Nonstop Action, TNA, which I think from a nostalgia point of view is quite cool, but I also think with the sort of the heightened interest around Impact at the minute, with them, you know, not only being over in the UK doing the Invasion tour, but just in general, their shows seem to be doing a lot better than maybe what they were, you know, a year, 18 months ago. So bringing back that TNA name is probably... Most people are still talking about Impact as TNA anyway. So going back to that, it's... I think it's a good move for them. I think it's positive PR. Again, there are a lot of negative connotations with TNA when you think about the Hogan era and everything like that, and you know the sort of the parody kind of feeling that TNA had at times when they were bringing in old WWE guys and giving them similar names to what they had and all that kind of stuff. They became a bit of a kind of online joke about it, but you know TNA the name has that legacy of so many great matches, you know, like Daniels, Joe and Styles in there, Kurt Angle's run, Christian Cage's first run as well, all those kind of stuff. You know, that's what TNA to me means. And if the guys and girls that are kind of front and centre of an Impact just now are able to kind of run with the ball and make TNA that name again, then yeah, I'm all for it.
I think it's that thing as well with AEW sometimes has the issue with not having that history behind it, you know. So I think that because TNA has gone through a couple of name changes before, it's been GFW, then it's been Impact, they kind of reset. They reset the history a little bit. It's not that prolonged TNA. So I think going back to that and being able to sort of draw on that history a little bit more from 2002 will help them in the long run for sure.
I'm excited for it. I as soon as I saw the TNA logo, I was all in. Sort of pardon the pun for I was thinking about AEW there, but I was all in. I've been really intrigued by Impact's product recently. I've been seeing it on YouTube. I don't think it's that readily accessible on TV in the UK without having to get a subscription or anything like that. But I've certainly been keeping an eye on who's on the show and what they bring in. The crowds don't look particularly big, but they sound loud. They sound big, I suppose that's probably a better way to put it. And bringing back a TNA name, yep, it's got a little bit of a poison chalice because of Hogan, because of Dixie Carter at times, because of some decisions they made in the past. But like Scott D'Amore said, they're still chanting TNA. And TNA's still got, like you're saying, TNA's got that legacy behind it, and I'm buzzing for it. If I'm able to find it on like a Sky Plus it and record it, I'm getting it on my planner as soon as I possible can, because I'm ready. I'm ready for TNA again.
It's Channel 5 all over it. You know, I know like Channel 5, they were the kind of the landing ground for Five Star a couple of years ago. With like the Five USA, but if they were able to get that, if Channel 5 were able to get TNA, just like they kind of had WCW in the late 90s, that would be a good spot, because AEW have got they put a lot of stock in the fact that they do great numbers for Dynamite on ITV4 when it's like 2 days later. So I think if there was Channel 5 wouldn't be able to do it because they've got the kind of the affiliation with BT and TNT for the WWE stuff. But there's bound to be a digital channel in the UK that would be able to pick up the rights to it. Because I know that you can get you can sign up to like Impact Plus on Fight and get your kind of fill that way. But there's got to be somewhere like Dave.
No, I like, thought Dave as well. Dave was my first thought. Mm. Why not? Dave. We'll be fine.
Get it on there. Endlessly Pizza Taskmaster and Would I Lie to You, followed by 2 weeks ago's episode Impact, would be ideal. That'd be a great Thursday night.
They had, I literally watched Bound for Glory, but my memory is completely blank. Man, they've got a four-sided ring at the moment, don't they? They've had a four-sided ring for a while.
Hogan.
Do you think they'd go back to six sides at all if they went back to TNA for maybe even a special event or once a year or...
No. Well, maybe once a year, but I think everyone I've seen or read that's wrestled in a six-sided ring has hated wrestling in a six-sided ring because it's got those beams across the over the corners, so they're harder to land on.
Yeah.
So I mean, once a year, why not throw in?
They should do it as a gimmick match. So they should either have it as Six Sides of Steel or Ultimate X.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate X and the six-sided thing will always look class because you've got that extra kind of bit to land on, I suppose, when you're killing yourself. I think it's a really positive move from TNA, from Impact to go back to TNA. And as you were tweeting about today, Billy, as well, the fact that the rebranding's kind of happening this coming week while they're in the UK and they're going to be filming one of the TV shows in Glasgow now. So the only big positive move from them. And I suppose that kind of means that the Glasgow show is probably going to get beefed up a wee bit more by some of the bigger names if they're putting it on the telly.
What about the colours? Do you think they're going to keep the colours they're at, or...?
I think still, I mean, well, you've got Raw's red and kind of white. You got SmackDown blue, NXT yellow. I think you could still keep what's Impact's colors now? It's kind of blue and white. They're a bit cold kind of colors. I mean, SmackDown has the same kind of scheme. I'm cool with them going back to red and yellow, and just going way back old school. You don't have to get the six-sided ring, but the two tunnels. It's one of the few things I really enjoy about AEW, because I always find out every time I watch it, it's all WWE this, or we do this better, and all that kind of shit. But I loved it when they had the two tunnels, when the faces came out one side, heels came out the other. It's just so easy to, if you're a first-time watcher, just going, oh, that's the bad guy, because they've come out that side, you know?
Was it either side of the arena, or was it?
It was either side. Again, I loved it. I thought it was just such a cool, new, different thing, an action alternative, without going. Well, they did do it, but without going, look at us. Look at what the guys are doing. We've got two ramps. They're cool as fuck. Yeah, it was. It is cool.
Have either of you ever been to what was the Impact Zone?
No.
Like on an after.
Unfortunately,
I went to Florida in 2010, and they were filming a couple of episodes of Impact when we were there. So we got to one of the recordings, and I think I maybe spoke about it on an earlier podcast. Or I've definitely spoken about it on our podcast. It might even have been in yours, Billy, back when I did that. But RVD came out and cut a promo and just botched the promo so badly. Like it was awful. To the point where they were recording another set of tapings the following day, and he came back out and recorded the same promo in front of a different crowd. And the only reason that I know that is because I watched the episode back when it aired on Bravo or whatever it was on, and it was a completely different crowd that they showed for the RVD promo. And then they cut to, they then went to the next match, completely different people in the crowd. Because I was looking for myself, because I'm pretty sure I was wearing a Motherwell top. And I was so it would be easy to spot. I was like, I know exactly what that. I was facing the hard cam. I was right in the middle. I was like, why can I not see myself during this promo? And then it went to the first match, which I think Sabu was in or something. I was like, oh, there I am. I was like, but everybody else is different to what was in the last segment. So it shows how confident they were in their editing. They were just like, you know what? Nobody's going to notice this apart from the folk that were there.
You should be confident in your editing to maybe change over me calling Billy Bryan, so hopefully you're as sharp as that.
A wee AI voice going in.
Billy. But yeah, right, so I'm too nice a guy to choose between them, but I'll have to, you know, it's my role. So I will go for, since you've said there's going to be more TNA later on, I think I'm going to have to go with Old Faithful. Anytime you hear about Undertaker plugging money or doing any cameos or anything like this, or Patreon, I always just think of one thing. So I'm going to give it to Billy. And the headline for that one is just going to be, "Hello, Granny." So anytime I can get that in, anytime it can remind me of that, I'm going to have to go for that. So that is going to be the headline of the front page.
Nice one.
Back page. Yeah, we'll jump straight to the back page. I don't know. I've seen it. Petty and ill-informed again. I've seen a little bit of wrestling this week. Probably not as much as I usually do. But before we start, what has there been? The show's been decent. What have you seen?
I've only seen like bits and bobs as well. I've not watched a full show this week from anybody. I was trying to catch up with Raw earlier on today, and it was just very promo heavy. I thought, from what I've seen anyway, I quite enjoyed the other play contract signing bit where Nia Jax was kind of berating the other play and talking down to everybody else that was in the match, and then she just got a hole kicked in, which I thought was quite funny, but. Other than that, it was a raw.
I'm so glad that you got me on this week, because I don't have time to watch the US stuff really, other than watching it on YouTube. So I actually went to the wrestling this weekend. I went to a show in Elgin, and so I was supposed to be going to two. I was supposed to be going to one in Aberdeen as well, but Storm Babbitt in Aberdeen, just closed Aberdeen, it seemed. So I couldn't go to that one because it cancelled, they postponed it. But I did get to one. It was W3L, and that's so it'll be a match from that show because only wrestling I've seen in the last 7 days, really. So, it was, you wouldn't believe the competitors when I mentioned some of them, but it was a tag team match. It was Luke King Sharp, Luke Aldridge against a team of Joe E. Legend and Johnny Storm. There you go, some TNA throwback as well with Johnny Storm in there and Joe E. Legend at Impact, a TNA alumni group. It was just really fucking good. it was just a lot of slapstick, a lot of just pure entertainment. It wasn't, you weren't going to get a Will Ospreay flip to doodles all over the place that I mentioned for Will Ospreay. But it was just a good laugh. They were doing things like slap fights, and there's some round table where they all end up slapping each other at some point. Luke King Sharp used the referee as he's like as a stand, so you could do a test of strength with Johnny Storm. Johnny Storm did some cool stuff and hurricanranas and moonsaults and all that kind of stuff. It was just, it's quite surreal to see it in a town hall in Elgin, but it just reminds you that live wrestling is fucking amazing. when you see stuff like that,
it's so fun, isn't it?
Is it, because especially when you see guys like, you know the imports that they bring in, just embracing it all and you know, doing all the gaga stuff as if, you know, they're doing Butlins for like the 10th time that day. You know, it's great seeing them kind of step out of the TV mode and go back to basics, you know, basically being like family entertainers as opposed to turning competitors. Like, that's what I really enjoy about seeing the going to like local shows. Especially, I spoke about them before, FFPW down in Dublin. They do their episode shows once a month, but they also, every couple of months, they do like Next Generation shows, where it's all their trainees go on there in front of, like, you know, maybe 50 people or whatever. But those shows are some of the funnest ones that you see, because they will bring in, you know, more established ones onto those shows to help the younger guys come through and give them that kind of experience. But a lot of it is, you know, the pantomime-ness of it, you know, and and everything like that. And it's really great to see, like, you know, proper, like, hardened wrestling fans, like, going daft for somebody doing the worm, or, you know, just those kind of, like, proper slapstick bits. It's really great seeing that in the local shows. And obviously you want to see the good wrestling as well, but when you see guys that you're used to seeing wrestle one way going in a completely different direction, it's a sight to behold.
Absolutely.
What about yourself then, Chris? What are you going to...
So for my match of the week, I was thinking of going for Brian Danielson against Andrade from Collision, but, you know, I think the last couple of weeks I've picked a Danielson match, and, like, you know, like, his matches are always good. His matches are always going to be the best of the week. You know, it's on television, he's just, you know, he can put on, you know, a 12, 15 minute match, make you feel all the feels during it, especially now because he's wrestling with his gammy wrist, and it's another selling point to his selling point, I suppose. But I think the one I'm going to go with from this week, again, kind of TNA tinged as well, I suppose, would be the Memphis Street fight between Jeff Jarrett and Eddie Kingston, which was a whole lot of fun. As I was saying there before, I enjoy like some of the slapstick stuff and seeing guys being, you know, going out of their comfort zone, I suppose, and seeing Eddie Kingston in that kind of street fight that is all gaga. You know, there was like concession stand stuff, there was mustard and ketchup being sprayed everywhere, there was like ice boxes just being chucked about. You know, an Eddie Kingston street fight, you would imagine it would be quite violent. There'd be a lot of barbed wire, there'd be a lot of, you know, a lot of weapons, but in this one it was all quite incidental weapons. So it was popcorn boxes and hot dogs and stuff like that. Which kind of it took away from the aura a wee bit of Eddie Kingston, because, you know, it's not the kind of match that you're used to seeing him in, and it was maybe a bit too gaga-ish for Eddie Kingston, but the high points of the match were done very well. There was a cutter that Jay Lethal, because the premise of the match was that if Jeff Jarrett won, Jay Lethal would get a shot at Eddie Kingston's ROH World Championship. So obviously, Team Jarrett, whatever they were in it, Satnam Singh was there, Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Calvin Jarrett, all of them were getting involved at some point in it. But there was a cracking bit where there was the concession table was set up just off the ramp, and Eddie and Jarrett were going at it, and then literally out of nowhere, Jay Lethal hits essentially an RKO on Eddie off the stage through the table. I was like, that was class. That was really good. Because again, it reminded you that it's Jay Lethal that's got the stake in the match more than Jarrett's got. But in the end, the numbers game was too much, although Eddie, you know, had spirited 2 9/10 kickouts from the stroke and another couple of moves that he took. Eventually, Team Jarrett won out, and that means that Jay Lethal gets his shot at Eddie. And then later in the show, Eddie Kingston cut a promo on Jay Lethal, basically saying that he's gonna make Jay Lethal's mum cry in the crowd because he's gonna get the beating that he deserves for aligning himself with the carny dickhead that is Jeff Jarrett. So. It's all in. It maybe wasn't the most technically sound match, it maybe wasn't the most dramatic match, but to get to, well, Jay Lethal was like one of the longest ever Ring of Honor champions, wasn't he? Yeah. It quite a long tenure there. So to bring that in to the AEW ROH universe, getting one of the most tenured guys into a match with the current champion, I think it was a decent enough way of getting to that point.
What do you think about the finish? What sort of shenanigans that Jeff Jarrett's heading out with? I know it's really, if you want him to win a match, it's the only way he can really win. You don't want Jeff Jarrett going over clean, but the way it went, what did you think of the finish?
I think that, and again, I don't want to be copying somebody's homework, but listening to the What Culture, the view of Collision, my kind of thoughts were the same. It was like, you know, only a few weeks ago, Eddie Kingston was teaming with like Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, and that amazing sort of plunder brawl that they had at Wembley. But when the numbers were against Eddie Kingston on Collision the other night, there was nobody helping him at all. There was nobody to be seen. And that's kind of, you know, where Team Jarrett came into play, because he took he took the lethal injection, I think. He took Satnam Singh's big choke slam, and then he took two strokes as well. So, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say bad booking, but bad storytelling, the fact that there's nobody there that's prepared to be in his corner when he's been there for others as well.
Right, so go on, but you say something, Billy.
No.
Wouldn't that's fine. Right, I'll go to the I thought he was lining up for someone there. But right, so I caught a little bit of the Jeff Jarrett match. I've not seen your one, however. I'm going to go with a bit of home bias here, since it was in Scotland, and since either, oh yeah, maybe another point for calling you the wrong name. To be fair, it's my auto.
Give me the points. Give me them all.
I'll give you. I'll go with yours. I'll go with yours, Billy. That's a 2-0 lead. I'm jobbing out the usual host.
How do you find the time, Billy, to do all that you do on Scottish Wrestling Network? Like, it baffles me, because like you're in a similar position to me. You've got a young kid. You've got a full time job. How do you find that time to put so much effort into your blogs and your reviews and your podcasts? It astounds me.
I work from home. So Mondays, I can't say how, but Mondays usually is my recording day. So I'd record Monday, and that's it. If anyone wants to get me after that, like in an evening, I've got to ask for special permission. But otherwise, Monday's my recording day. The rest of it, I could do results, I could do on my phone, I could do everything else, either when I'm having a shite or doing everything else. It is pretty much if it's on my if I can do this on the phone. But no, yeah, work from home has been an absolute godsend. If they send me back to the office, the website's dead. that's pretty much the long and short of it.
Because like the amount of content that you put out, I know we've spoke in the past about your Patreon and stuff like that, but just like to have such a passion for local Scottish wrestling and trying to put that on the map to the point where you know you're using the content that you've been putting out, you've been able to use that to get onto like the Impact media calls and things like that. You must be quite proud of the way that you've gone about it.
Yeah, I think, and a lot of it is I've kind of, you know, everything that happened in 2020 as well, I really had to take a step back and go, what do we cover? What can I morally cover? And some stuff I don't cover anymore in Scotland. Because before I would cover everything, good or bad. And now I've went through some quality control, and you think that would mean less stuff to cover, but it hasn't. It's meant I've ended up getting this Impact stuff and all that kind of thing because I've done that quality control. And yeah, it's weird going to shows as well. Like I went to W3L on Sunday, and the person on the merch stand knew who I was, and so I was supposed to go to them to see if I could get interviews, and they immediately knew who I was. I was like, oh, cool. and then other people would come up to me and go, oh, you do the podcast.
They're just like that. Yeah, it's Brian. Brian's here.
But no, and because I got Joey Legend, there'll be a bit that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I spoke to Joey Legend after the show at W3L. We got a couple of minutes with him. So it's weird. I'm not a social person, but somehow it's forcing me to speak to people face to face, which I probably should be able to do at 33. But it's yeah, it's still odd. It's just weird.
Right, well, I'll go for, you've given me a little bit of quality time there to think about the headline for that one. I've racked in my brain. I'll go for some low-hanging fruit here. I go with all four men looking sharp up in Elgin.
Oh, there we go.
It's a good.
So there we go. Low-hanging, but does the job. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pass it over to the two more qualified people to speak about this. I mentioned earlier the TNA interviews, the interviews that Billy manages to get, the interviews that Chris has been able to get as well. This is going to be, you know, I'll let you guys go. I'll pass it over to you guys.
No, so yeah, this is the centrefold for this week. So it's part two of the interview I gave. I had with Danny Luna and Flash Morgan Webster a couple of weeks ago in the lead up to this week's Impact Invasion tour. And then last midweek, both Billy and myself, we were lucky enough to get on to the Impact press call, where we both got to have a wee bit of a chat with none other than the Billy Goat, Will Ospreay. I mean, look, we your one there, Billy, as we kind of spoke earlier on, it's kind of, I didn't know what to expect with the call in terms of how I would get on, you know, to ask the question. And then all of a sudden, I just get invited into this secret room Zoom. I was like, oh, this is quite nice. So, like, is that how the majority of the press pass things work, or is it, do the other ones any
different? No, it's the same. Yeah, you get into a Zoom room, and then you just put your hand up and just wait until you're invited into the super secret room. And then you panic because you haven't changed your name on it, you haven't put your video on, you haven't unmuted. And then it's usually easy on the computer to do all that, but I was on my phone for the Will Ospreay one. So it was very quick from me being in the room to being on. So I was the dick that didn't unmute their mic on the show, on the press pass. So I was trying to go, come on, unmute. But no, that's how they usually go. And it's the same as the interviews, the one I did with Moose as well. It was the same. You're put into a Zoom room and someone's there moderating, and you just kind of hope for the best, and they don't step in and go, I know your question's shite, move on.
Well, I mean, you'll hear in the next couple of minutes, or over the next 10 or so minutes, how shite or how well me and Billy came across and questions for Will Ospreay. But I found it quite fascinating that it wasn't just, you know, UK and American dudes that were on the podcast. There was like a French girl came on at one point. They went to India at some point on it as well. So it's clearly, you know, there's a lot, there's clearly interest from all over Europe, all over the world in getting on these calls. And it was good to be on there and see just how good a moderator and presenter Tom Hannifin is as well. You know, very knowledgeable. Obviously, he was being fed a few lines from whoever was moderating the full call, because they introduced me as being... They introduced me as being a close personal friend of Grado's coming on, which I'll probably get my balls booted for if they do a main show. I mean that's if they listen to this at all. But it was a real good experience, and big thanks to Simon and Ross and Laura, I think it was, that organised the Subculture interview as well for having us on. But for the next 10 minutes, get your fill of TNA stuff. So we've got Danny Luna and Flash Morgan up first, and then me and Billy grilling Big Willie. Now, as Subculture, you know, the two of yous and Mark as well, you have come up with this mantra of conquer everything. You know, it's that's, you know, you have got the merch out with that, and it's a very, very bold and positive message for yous as a team to be portraying as you make your way through Impact. How are these going to conquer everything that Impact has for these over the next, you know, year, 2 years, however long it's going to take yous? Do you have a game plan for it?
Yeah, well, I think you say how long is it going to take, and I think, you know, part of that mantra is, like we've said, whether it takes 1 week, whether it takes a month, whether it takes a year, whether it takes 2 years, eventually Subculture conquers everything. And it's like, you look at our history, you look at us, like being at, like me and Mark at Progress, we both kind of went on to win Natural Progression. We both went on to, like, Mark went on to become Progress champion. Like me and Danny, when you look at, like, Pro Wrestling Chaos, she's been like the All Wales champion, the first woman to hold the All Wales championship. I was a former King of Chaos. We've held championships all over this country, and then we went to WWE and we won the tag team championships, and now we went to Impact and won the World Tag Team Championships. And Danny last night, like, had a shot, and she will win it, the Undisputed British Women's Championship. It is coming. So yeah, it's all about that. It's all about biding our time. When we lose, we learn from those losses, we regroup together, we talk about it, we get the game plan, and we move on. And that's what it's about. It's like, yes, we did lose the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Championships, but I'd be lying if I said that we aren't already thinking about that rematch. And Danny isn't already kind of eyeing up yet. She teamed with Trinity, but I know that she's eyeing up that knockout championship. So yeah, for us, it's all about, you know, biding our time, learning from every experience, taking our shots when we can. If we lose, cool, it happens. We learn from it, we reflect from it, and eventually, on a long enough timeline, Subculture does conquer everything.
So, and what would be the sort of the biggest accomplishment that the three of yous would be able to obtain? You know, whether that's an Impact or, you know, in any other promotion going, what's the sort of the main goal?
It's triple champs worldwide. Tag team champions, women's champion, every promotion, every country. That's the goal, man.
Awesome. That's a great goal to have. Now, there was a question that I had for Mark if he'd been here, but I think it might be relevant to you, both of you guys as well. Mark was quite heavily involved in the old TNA British boot camp. And I was going to ask him, you know, what the differences are in Impact now as to, you know, what it was then. But the lead out I was going to have of that was, how big a role do you think that TNA's involvement in the British scene, as far back as boot camp, how big a part has that played in guys like yourself, Joe Hendry, and numerous others that have gone across the pond to Impact and other promotions as well? How big a part do you feel that kind of played?
I know that Mark has said, like, that was his biggest opportunity up until that point, and he kind of came in as a young wrestler looking for a chance, and he's able to, you know, go away and come back now as a more accomplished, well-rounded wrestler. But it was a lot of the time where it was the first time people saw him on a global stage. But as for the, you know, the, for lack of a better term, the impact has had on not just British wrestling, but wrestling as a whole. I was saying earlier on that the X Division was just a division within Impact and within TNA. And now this style of, you know, a little bit smaller wrestlers, leaner wrestlers, faster styles, it seems to be kind of, you know, the kind of what all wrestling has adopted. And those people like your Samoa Joes, your Christian Daniels, your Machine Guns, your AJ Styles, they've taken that style and they've kind of, you know, taken it all around the world, and it's become the modern day pro wrestling style. But I always think to myself, is like, even when TNA back in the day was, you know, the numbers might have been dwindling in the US, they would come here and they'd sell out Wembley and they'd sell out the Motor Point and they'd sell out Glasgow and they'd sell out Newcastle. It's always been huge here. Pro wrestling is loved. Like, we just had the biggest wrestling event ever 2 months ago in London. I think it shows that, like, if you are passionate enough, if you give them a good product and you believe in what you're doing, British wrestling fans absolutely love it and they just flock to it. So I think, you know, on modern day wrestling, Impact's had such a big, for again, lack of a better word, impact on that. But also when it comes to, you know, the love for wrestling in this country, you know, wrestling fans have flocked to it time and time again.
Cool. Now, the last thing I was going to ask is, and again, reverting back to what we usually do in the Daft Sheet, is we have a section, the TV pages, we call it, where I get my guests to tell us something that is wrestling related, but not necessarily wrestling, that you would tell our listeners to you know, seek out and watch. I mean, I know that you guys will do a lot of tape study and things like that, but is there anything, you know, non-in-ring that you guys love to go back to and watch all the time that is wrestling related, but not necessarily matches and stuff?
I don't know if this answers your question directly, but a big part of what brought subculture together was music.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of found ourselves in these three different subcultures, these three different subgenres of music. And that's kind of what brought us all together. And coming from more of like, so my subgenre was punk rock, and I find so much resemblance from that to how I wrestle, and so much of the feelings behind that sort of music. And I know Flash is the same with being a mod, you know, like there's so much detail and emotion you can get from that I think you can translate into wrestling really well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's this documentary from years ago, a Parkway Drive documentary, and it's about them kind of, the band Parkway Drive getting in a van and just deciding to go to America. Even though they're like these absolute, like, for lack of a better term, like megastars in Australia, they decide to go to America where they're not known. They rent a van, they're sleeping on floors, they're sleeping in the van, they're playing in front of, you know, 5-6 people and stuff like that. But it's all about that journey and trying to make a name for themselves in America. And it's so, you know, it resonates with so many wrestlers that you can kind of be, you can be the, you know, the king of your little circle in your town, or the king of your little circle in your scene in your country. But then you can go to another country in Europe and people don't know who you are, or you can go to America and people don't know who you are. But like, it's all about branching out, building that brand and kind of building that name for yourself. And the fact that they do it as a group is exactly what subculture are doing now. We're kind of going to these new places where people don't know us. We're forging a name. We're having laughs as we do it. We're, you know, sleeping on planes, and we're sleeping in the back of cars and stuff like that, and just traveling the world. And so I'd say, like, if anyone kind of, it kind of motivates you to want to go out there and for conquer the world, conquer everything. It kind of really does motivate you to want to do that. So yeah, I'd say seek that out.
Smashing. That's a great answer, and thank you very much for your time. Myself and a few of the guys for the Daft Sheet, we are going to be heading along to the Glasgow show on the Invasion tour that Impact are doing, and can't wait to see you guys conquer Glasgow.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. That was awesome. Thank you. And now here are the clips from Impact's call last week with Will Ospreay, with a question from myself, and another one from Billy.
Beautiful. Keeping with the UK tour section of this press pass, a close friend of Grado, I'm told. This is Chris Jack from the Daft Sheet and Wrestling Daft podcast. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on the call tonight. And thank you as well. You gave me some very insightful tips on wrestling commentary a few years ago on Instagram. So thank you very much for that. But well, obviously, you're coming back to the UK as part of this Impact Invasion tour. You're doing Turning Point. But another thing that Impact are doing is the gut check tryouts. And a lot of, you know, your peers, I'm sure they're going to be taking part in that, as well as a lot of the trainees that have got into wrestling because of you, looking up to you as a bit of an inspiration. When you were on the up, when you were doing, you know, tryouts and stuff like that, what were your favourite experiences of going along to tryouts? How beneficial have they been to your career? And what advice would you give to any trainees or indeed guys that you might be wrestled with in the past that are going along to try and make a name for themselves with Impact?
I've never had a tryout in my life, bruv. I'm not going to lie to you.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry, I can't attest to that that stress and that anxiety of that pressure. I've never been under the tryout sphere, so I can only apologise on that. But, like, I do encourage people to go and do it. Of course it is. It can change your bloody life. I don't know. Life was my try. I showed up one day and they went, "We'll give you everything." So,
sorry, thank you. Well,
I can't give advice on a tryout.
Oh, that's beautiful. I do miss what was it? TNA British Boot Camp. Once upon a time, Will. Did you check that out?
I was gonna do that, and I've got a few mates that did do it. I don't know what it was. Because it was the reality TV. I remember Andrew's one of them.
It was basically the entire roster that became NXT UK. Yeah.
They did do that to you guys. Oh, my bad.
Not my bad. I was just curious if you saw it. Up next is Billy from the Scottish Wrestling Network. Hi, Billy.
I'm on mute. Hello.
There you are.
There's always going to be one on this, isn't there, that forgets to take them off mute. Hi, guys. Hi, Tom again, and hi, Will, for the first time. So you're scheduled to face Eddie Edwards on the UK tour, as it's been mentioned many times on this press pass at Turning Point. There's other dates in Glasgow and Coventry. Any chance we may see an Aerial Assassin's appearance on those dates? And you've mentioned wanting a World X Cup, so I want to throw in or a World Cup of Wrestling. If you were to form a Team UK for the World X Cup, who would be your teammates?
Am I allowed to use anyone?
I suppose, yeah. Anyone at your disposal.
Anyone in the UK. Me, Zack Sabre Jr., Luke Jacobs. How many people are in this team?
It was four.
Four. Me, Zack Sabre Jr., Luke Jacobs, and Drew McIntyre. Boom. Oh, yeah, Drew McIntyre, yeah. I'll sit with Drew. I've already said his name.
Possible.
The only date that I can't do is October the 29th. I'm not doing that. It's for Sam's birthday. I will never, ever wrestle on that date ever again. You can book WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Grand Slam, Wrestle Any Bollocks. I am not performing on my son's birthday. That's me one thing, but I can do Glasgow.
Oh, that's going to make a lot of people happy, especially with ourselves up in Scotland. But perfect. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. That sounds like an amazing team.
You've got to fork out more money for Billy Oakey. Okay,
thank you.
Right, okay. Thank you to everyone that contributed there, especially you two with the knowledge you managed to get us there. We'll get going again. We'll crack back into it with the gossip of the week. So I'll start with Chris this one. What in the world of wrestling has been dangling your berries this week in the gossip section?
Dangling my berries? There's been a few different things. Like when we were doing the production meeting, as I like to call the WhatsApp group that we're in. There was one thing that I'd seen a few people tweet about this morning with regards to another British company being dicks, but I thought I'm going to keep the positivity up instead of going down that wormhole of who's in the right and who's in the wrong when it comes to booking people and paying people and whatnot, because there's been enough shite about that over the last few weeks in British wrestling that we don't need to kind of involve ourselves with. So I thought I'll go for something that's a wee bit more mainstream than that, and that is the backlash to Grayson Waller's comments about Taylor Swift on The Bump last week. Now, I don't know if it's been a plant. I don't know if it is something that's generally or genuinely being considered for WrestleMania 40 or not. But I think it was after the, was it the Fastlane press conference a few weeks ago? I might be wrong with whatever event it was, but basically one of the journals in there asked Io Sky if she would fight Taylor Swift. And since then, I mean, that journal got a lot of backlash, a lot of shit for asking that question in the presser. But since then, and again with the rise of Taylor Swift's relationship with Travis Kelce and everything like that, there just seems to be more and more kind of Taylor Swift pops and stuff and digs coming up in WWE narrative and shows and stuff, almost CM Punk levels of Easter eggs and things coming out. And then on the bump on Friday, I think it was, Grayson Waller made a comment that he doesn't date sixes or something to that effect when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were brought up. And that then led to Grayson Waller putting out an apology video. If you haven't seen it, just go on his Twitter. It's probably the funniest thing that he's done that I've seen. But basically, he's doing this kind of almost Holly Willoughby-esque apology, saying, you know, he's sorry that what he said offended people, he was being in character and whatnot, and that he was also sorry that Taylor Swift fans can only identify themselves as Taylor Swift fans. You know, they live their life vicariously through the songs and the relationships that Taylor Swift has. And then he went in a big thing about how his DMs are full of swamp donkeys having pops at him. And then he ends it by saying, you know, Taylor Swift fans are worse than the internet wrestling community. But in any line of online work, haters are going to hate, and they just need to shake it off. And then he starts playing Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. And then he basically calls them all losers and says that the song's garbage to end it. Really? So, you know, is that an apology that's not an apology? But I think in terms of the discussions around, you know, the biggest female singer-songwriter on the planet, getting all these tenuous and maybe tedious links to WWE, I'm wondering if there is something maybe in the works. You know, it's WrestleMania 40 in March, April time. It's a big one. We spoke the other week there, last week, about, you know, Luke Combs being groomed to sing the national anthem at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 40 in Philly, Taylor Swift belting out the Star Spangled Banner or the America the Brave. You know, I could see it happening because, you know, with all the money that WWE are bringing in, you know, they can afford Taylor Swift, you know, for 3 minutes, whatever it is. And, you know, they've got a ready-made storyline there, Grayson Waller. Grayson, what I pitched in the WhatsApp was Grayson Waller against Pat McAfee with Travis Kelce in his corner, fighting for the honour of Taylor Swift. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, there's legs in it. There's legs in it. And I think that there's been too many instances of her getting mentioned for it not to be something that they're maybe considering.
Do you think that's just them putting the feelers out to see if she bites, maybe? Do you think there's been any sort of conversation between Taylor Swift and the WWE or whatever? Do you think that's them just throwing her name out there to see if she responds then to get that
It could be a massive fishing trip. You know, it could be that kind of thing. But I mean, she does, you know, she is kind of wrestling adjacent, I suppose would be the term, having been the babysitter for Jeff Jarrett's kids back in the day. So, you know, she's got a bit of the fed in her. She's got a bit of the stuff in her. I mean, I think it would be, for it being arguably the biggest WrestleMania this decade, why not have the biggest singer of the decade?
I'm jumping in and say that if Taylor Swift wasn't going to do anything, she's that kind of high profile and powerful, they would have cut that shit off very quickly. If her name's being brought up, if there's nothing at all in it, her team would have probably been all over it going, don't mention her, don't mention Taylor Swift, because we're not interested, you know? So, I mean, things like that have been flirted for years. Was Justin Bieber was supposed to sing the national anthem at one point and possibly be in a match? And then, of course, we have had, like, big-ish names.
Bieber in a match would have been amazing, purely if they did it against Hardcore Holly. And he just absolutely murdered the kid.
Proper Daniel Kudo treatment.
Absolute murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean they're going to need some good... I don't know who's done the Star Spangled Banner, whoever it is. America the Beautiful, the last few years. Last one I remember was Michelle Williams just dying on stage. I mean, the third most successful member of Destiny's Child. So I don't give a shit about that kind of stuff, because it's all America is great and it's a worldwide show. But to get Taylor Swift on would certainly draw an extra casual crowd in.
Yeah,
at the very least.
That's it. That's the thing. They always talk about how WrestleMania sells itself. It doesn't need a match to sell WrestleMania. But if you think of the extra pay per view buys, that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, that is a rabid fan base, the Swifties. Like, my sister-in-law in Canada, she is fanatical about her, like, to the point where she's pregnant just now. My niece is going to be born in December, just before Christmas, and she already has a Taylor Swift first words book, like, in the nursery for her. So, you know... And that's just one person who I consider to be fairly level-headed, but the maniacal Swift fans would no doubt be chucking $50 at their pay-per-view supplier just to get a for that. I've no doubt. And I think if they were able to incorporate it into some kind of... Or even have a smash Pat McAfee with a guitar, Jeff Jarrett style.
Perfect.
That would... Mm-hmm. That's your WrestleMania moment, like, there.
Yeah,
or have her do the Snoop Dogg for last year, you know, drop an elbow. That is one of my few laugh out loud moments of this year, was Snoop Dogg having to improvise after Shane McMahon just buckled on himself. It's amazing.
Oh, Shane McMahon just disappeared. He just disappeared. He was never mentioned. It was never mentioned again. The next night. No, Snoop Dogg did an elbow drop. That was all that happened. Nothing happened beforehand because that.
In fact, I'm booking it out, Taylor Swift to dethrone Rhea Ripley. With Jeff Jarrett's guitar shot and then a stroke. That's what I'm calling now. Calling it for
Taylor Swift. Yeah, that's Ripley. God, that's headlines.
Well, I'll get Johnny to put that in the back in the description.
Clickbait. What about you then, Billy? What are you going to put up again?
I'm two up. I'm all right with losing this one, because we kind of mentioned it already, and it was the big news as of recording this morning, which was Impact Wrestling is taping their Glasgow show, which is happening on Thursday, so probably tomorrow in release world, maybe. So Glasgow TV taping, it's going to go out on November 10th, and they've already announced 5 matches for the show, but now they've announced the TV taping, that's when all bets are kind of off now. They're wanting to make this a big one. They're going to make it a big deal. We already know it's going to be Eddie Edwards versus Rhino. We've got Motor City Machine Guns. My God. Motor City Machine Guns versus Josh Alexander and Eric Young. Subculture versus Moose, Brian Myers and Deonna Purrazzo. Grado versus Trey Miguel. Which is the most random matchup that they could have thrown in there.
I was thinking that as well. It's like, no offense to Grado, we love him here on the Daff Sheet. What's his cardio going to be like to keep up with Trey Miguel?
Standing in the middle.
How is that?
Just standing in the middle and just hope for the best.
Just posting in basin, posting in basin.
We've got Giselle Shaw versus Jordan Grace. Funnily enough, Giselle Shaw is the lineal Scottish Wrestling Women's Champion, as being the last holder when that title was active. So, you know, that's quite big. And then other than that, we've got Joe Henry supposed to be there on that of shows. Trinity supposed to be on those shows. Gail Kim's going to be there. Tommy Dreamer. Okay, they're not all good. Tommy Dreamer is supposed to be there. Rich Swann's supposed to be there. So now it's a case of, we know this is going to be taped. what's going to happen. It's not just going to be a bog standard six match card, go home happy, ace, you saw some Impact Wrestling. It's now the road to TNA, the hard to kill in January. So it just makes it a very exciting prospect. And it must mean they sold really well in Glasgow as well. They're going to throw some cameras in and tape it.
Wait, it's at the Academy, isn't it? The O2 Academy?
Yeah.
Yep. That'll look great in telly. That'll look really, really cool. That's where... Was it Fear and Loathing? They used to fear... Oh, no, Fear and Loathing's always been at the Barras, but there was a couple of ICW shows.
Yeah, there's done Shugs there, I think.
Shugs House Party, that's it. Aye. So that should be some buzz for that. And you listed everybody that they could be getting on the show. If there's any way that they can squeeze Simon Miller onto that one as well, because his feud with Joe Hendy that's been playing out on the Joe Hendy's fast food or food fight thing and whatnot, it'd be cool to see Miller being on the telly as well as being on the Invasion stuff as well on the live shows.
He's on the Newcastle show, isn't he? Joe Hendy, I'm sure. Is that? Do you reckon that's maybe just a one-off, or do you think they'd maybe throw him in against Henry, or even do the Glasgow shows before the Newcastle one, isn't it?
It's Glasgow's first. Speaking of that, you heard the chat with Will Ospreay. He's on board with dropping in on Glasgow if the money was right, the time was right. So you never know. We could see Will Ospreay on a little bit earlier before Turning Point on the Impact show in Glasgow. So it's a very exciting prospect, a very exciting time. And how has this company still alive, but they're still causing this much buzz? It's testament to Impact. I mean, this is obviously the TNA Daft podcast this week. But it's a super exciting time, and I won't be at the show, but I have my sources, so I'll be looking for all the scoops and the results as soon as possible to find out more.
It's a great venue, the Academy. I remember back in the halcyon days of being a wannabe rock star. I remember playing. There was just under 1,000 people at the show that we played. About halfway through the first song, I broke a string in my guitar and spent the next 5 minutes begging one of the other bands to let me use theirs, which meant our set got cut quite significantly on the biggest show that we ever did. So we went from playing to just under 1,000 people at the Carlin Academy on a Saturday night. In fact, you know who we were playing with? The Law, Faye Dundee. That's who we were playing with. We're supporting them. We are the Law. In fact, you'd have still been in nappies when that was going about, to be honest. we went from playing that to playing Cosmopol, a karaoke bar in Glasgow, to the other bands and one of their girlfriends. And then we called it a day. We peaked at the Academy. So let's hope that Impact does not do the same.
Perfect. Right. Two good bits of gossip there. Again, you've given me ample time to come up with my headlines here for either of them. However, to make it fair, I think the biggest news out of the two of them definitely is Grayson Waller having pops at the Swifties. So I'll give you the point there, Chris.
Thank you.
And after some deliberation, my headline for that is going to be: it's far from a love story as Waller creates bad blood with the Swifties.
Very good.
Nice.
Very good.
So I was trying to be a bit more creative than that. But that's
what's your favourite Taylor Swift era, Lewis? You know, you're right in the demographic for the grown-up way with Taylor Swift.
The love story era. Every time me and my pal get a little bit pissed at a pub that's got a karaoke bar, we are straight up there with Love Story.
I'm the same. I'm the same. Love Story. I remember when I was driving home from work, I used to drive an hour and a half to get home. I would have Love Story on and Picture to Burn. That was my tune to have on. Get the window down and start shouting out. Even the lyrics that have now been changed since, because they probably weren't PC at the time, and they definitely aren't now. But that Picture to Burn, a song. That was my summer anthem.
with Love Story as well. It's always like, it's a little bit like telling your pals you like wrestling to start. It's like they scroll through when you're in the car with them, maybe they're going through the rock songs and the rap songs and everything like that, and they just creep Taylor Swift Love Story in the middle of your playlist, and it comes on, you're looking at them like, and then you start looking at each other going, maybe. No. You put it on and then you realise.
I went to Busted recently and you know, that's the reaction. It's like, back when I was young, it wasn't cool to like Busted, and now I'm at an age where I don't give a fuck, and I'm just like, I went to see Busted and I was like, oh, amazing, I wish I went to see them fucking right, because they were ace.
I think I've maybe mentioned this on a podcast before, but that was my first ever CD. I think that was my main birthday present. No, my main birthday present. I probably got a bike or something as well, but I just threw that to the side when I was seven just to get the Busted CD.
And
I was
just walking away.
Seven, mate, sorry. And it was a weekly reminder, Chris. Always.
Hang on, which album was it?
It was the one where they're standing at their mugshots.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That feels so old, because I think I was like 12 or 13 when that came out, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I was an adult when that album came out. Actually, like the band that I was talking about earlier that was in, we did a few like showcases for different labels and stuff. And again, this is you know, pop song daft this week now, but we met a guy called John McLaughlin, who was the guy responsible for signing Busted, and basically what he told us was that the whole of their first album, James Bourne had written like three songs, all the other songs were pre-written, and they just had to find guys that looked good that could play instruments to make up the band. So basically, apart from what I go to school for, and I think maybe 3 a.m. Everything else was just like ready there, just waiting to be recorded. Once they figured out that you know, Matt Willis could play bass and Charlie could play the guitar and sing a bit. So it was all put together. He also told us that Sandy Tom was a big fraud as well. Sandy Tom, again, I mean, this is what, 17 years ago or whatever now. Sandy Tom got told that she would only get signed if she get rid of a band, because she was in quite a decent band that was doing the rounds in Edinburgh and Glasgow, but the record label only liked her, they didn't like the rest of the band, which is why the one song that she's known for is just a drum beat and her singing over the top of it, because it was a full song with the full production and all that, but the label were like, nah, we'll just take you instead. It's like when you used to watch an X Factor, when there was like one good singer and then a bunch of jobbers as part of like the five-piece band, and they're like, no, we're only putting you through. And then there's like that bit where it's like, oh, but I don't want to leave them. I don't want to leave them behind. And like, you fucking do. You fucking do. But yeah.
I'm completely lost where we are now.
Aye. We went from... Taylor Swift to Busted to bitterness about being in the music industry.
And then Sandy Tom.
In the space of like 3 minutes. Sandy Tom.
Did I just...
she not be up your neck of the woods, Billy?
I think so.
I'm sure she was like Northern.
Yeah, I would say Afford, but I think that was... was it something Sandy? Was it...
Emily Sandy. Sandy.
She was Afford. But yeah, I think she was up around here. Like, probably some arse end of nowhere, like, fucking heard her or something like that.
Right, so are the TV pages getting released from the contract this week again, or are we going to manage to sneak them in?
No, we've got time for them. Yeah.
Right, perfect. Right, we're going to the TV pages then. First time in, what, 3 weeks we've managed to get to them? We've been, even though we've managed to speak about Busted and...
the important things.
Taylor Swift and like the good stuff. we'll manage to sneak in some TV pages. So what is... wrestling related, but not particularly wrestling, in your eyes, what's the best story, or the best thing to watch, or the best thing you've read or listened to this week? So, Billy, I'll go with you first.
I'll be honest, I shat the bed with this one a little bit. I was just thinking of you guys and some content, some hashtags that you could throw in just to try and drive up the numbers. I watched Spider-Man recently. The first one, I've seen it before. It came out 20 years ago, And with Spider-Man 2 coming out on the PS5, there you go, there's all your analytics just thrown in, all them. Miles Morales, throw him in there as well. It reminded me of Randy Savage, Bonesaw McGraw. And, you know, it's still a good film. It hasn't probably aged as well as now you see the Tom Holland Spider-Mans, but they've still got a good charm to them. Yeah. But yeah, Spider-Man, it's still ace. Spider-Man's the best superhero. You can debate it. I don't care. I'm going to sit here. Even if you give me a nice, logical, sound debate, I'm still going to sit here and go, but it's Spider-Man, though, so...
I'll give you a little bit more of a connection with that one to wrestling as well. I seen on Angelo Dawkins' Instagram story today that he bought Spider-Man on his PS5. So there's your vague link.
There we go.
That allows you to talk about this as much as you want. But yeah, since we're completely off topic of wrestling, who's do you think the best Spider-Man is?
Right.
I don't know if I've got enough time for this, but I'll throw it in quickly.
It's Andrew Garfield, but his films are shite. But it was written badly, but I enjoyed his portrayal the most as Spider-Man. I enjoyed Tom Holland's got kind of the whole package, I think. I think he's a really good Spider-Man, really good Peter Parker. Tobey Maguire was the best Peter Parker. So if you're asking best Spider-Man out of the film ones, it's Andrew Garfield's. But he was let down by his films, but it made up for it in No Way Home as I cried in the cinema during it as one of the 32 at that time.
What's Spider-Man's aunt called again? What's
May?
Like Aunt May, Marissa Tomei played her in one of the films, didn't she?
Oh yeah, yep. And she was in The Wrestler with her tits out.
She was in The Wrestler. That was the other link I was going to go for. So. We've got there. It was kind of like that, the Kevin Bacon game.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. We'll always be able to find a way back to wrestling. I, as you can tell for that, I'm not a massive Spider-Man fan. But what was it like? Was it the Into the Spider-Verse stuff that Donald Glover was a part of as well?
I haven't seen Across the Spider-Verse yet. But I have seen the spoilers. Yeah, he does appear in it. But he was in one of the Tom Holland ones as well, as eventually be Prowler. So yeah, he's been about. So see, okay, let's sack the rest. I don't want to speak about Spider-Man more.
No, the reason I ask is like I was going back through episodes of Community a wee while ago. There's an episode where he's dressed up in the Spider-Man get-up, and that's apparently what kick-started the clamour by fans to have him get into the Spider-Man universe, was just this like random wearing of the Spider-Man costume in an episode of Community.
Jeez, I'm dying here, sorry. I held that cough the whole episode. We could probably speak about things that are completely off topic all day, but we'll go to you, Chris. Is there any maybe sounder link between your one and wrestling, or is it completely off topic again?
There was two that I had in mind. One which would take probably the darkest turn. You know, for a while we were the get cancelled daft with some of the stuff we were talking about. And one of the things that I was thinking about talking about would probably lead us down some dark cancellation themed paths. But I'll just say, if you haven't watched The Reckoning on BBC, the Jimmy Savile serialisation, he claimed, or they talk about him claiming to be the most dangerous wrestler in Yorkshire, especially when it came to girls, then go and watch it, because Steve Coogan's fantastic in it. It is a grim, 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 grim watch, but it's a good show, and Steve Coogan should probably get a lot of awards for it, because his portrayal of the most hideous man that ever lived in Yorkshire, at least. Well, is he worse than a Yorkshire Ripper? Probably, aye. It's worth watching if you're into that kind of thing. But the thing that I'm going to talk about more is, have either of you heard of a band called The Rhythm Method at all?
No.
No. So the Rhythm Method are a two-piece band from London. They do The album that they released in, I think it was 2019, called How Would You Know That I'm Lonely? How Would You Know I Was Lonely? Sorry. It's very Pet Shop Boys-y. It's kind of, it almost sounds like a parody album, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like the it's kind of spoken word over quite jaunty sounding tracks. And it's a very enjoyable kind of album about singledom in your mid-20s and, you know, trying to escape the squalor of just existing, basically. But they've got some good songs on it. But they're releasing a new single and a new album over the next week. While the lead single from it is a song called Please Don't Die, which is quite a good, you know, wrestling chant. You hear that quite often in like death matches and stuff. But the clip that is on the Vimeo link that they sent out on the release of it is the song just over multiple looped Undertaker and Paul Bearer promos. So
I ended the show here. It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's the song itself deals with it's about wanting to, you know, make things better for yourself. There's also kind of like there's lyrics about suicide and stuff in it as well. It's got a really nice female vocal comes in throughout it as well, and it's just generally a nice song to listen to. The subject matter is maybe not the most cheeriest, but it's a nice song, a bit of a departure from what's on the How Would You Know I Was Lonely album. And one of the other reasons I wanted to plug it as well is that we are possibly getting an interview with them for the future episode of the Daft Sheet, because Rowan and Joseph from the band are massive wrestling fans, or at least one of them is. I don't know which one yet, but one of them constantly tweets about wrestling, and obviously that's been shown through in this video clip that they've got for Please Don't Die. So I hope to get a chat with them at some point over the next week or so and have them as the centrefold as well.
Right. Right, so
they've also, in the song that they've got called How Would You Know I Was Lonely, they've got a line which I think is the perfect kind of sums up a lot of the internet wrestling community, that they only get disparaged as being virgins and stuff like that. The line is, "I've had sex with women more than I deserve," which I think is quite a nice line in a song that's full of nice wee pithy lines, such as "Cigarettes and Alcohol" is one of my favourite songs. It's got a catchy chorus and it's 3 minutes 50 long. So it's very, if you like bands like The Streets and other kind of like even stuff like John Cooper Clarke spoken word poetry over beats, it's a great listen.
Good from both there. Definitely check out that song probably sooner than I'll check out anything to do with that horrible bastard you mentioned in the first one.
Are you going to say Spider-Man?
No, Spider-Man as well. I've definitely not watched enough Spider-Man. I think I've seen parts here and there.
Savilman.
Here we go. Cancellation. but I'll go for, Chris, I'll go for yours. Makes it a nice even tool. And
smashing.
I had one lined up halfway through that, but I think I'll just go for Rhythm is a Dancer, Savile is a Wanker. There's going to be your headline.
We'll take that.
There's going to be your headline for this. No cancellation so far, so why not throw it in right at the fucking end? So, I do believe that makes it 2-2. So, 2-2, and that puts it perfectly even for the quiz that I can't be losing because I'm the host this week, thank God. I did ask Chris earlier, is there a quiz you want me to do for this? Do you want to set one up and I'll do it? Forgetting that if Chris set up the quiz, he'd know all the answers. So this is a quick one I've thrown together. What it's going to be is, I don't know if you've seen the Santa's app and everything on TikTok or whatever, but they do a Guess a Wrestler in which it's, you're going to get 60 seconds to ask yes or no questions, to sort of narrow it down and guess the wrestler. I'm going to go alternate. You're going to get three each, and if you can get it within the 60 seconds, you'll get a point. If not,
I'll be automatically out if we make a wrong guess at the name.
No. You can smash names left, right, and centre. I'm just going to say yes or no.
Cool.
So it'll be no if it's not them. Yes, if it is, and we'll stop the clock. I'll do the timing. I'll be somewhat generous if you're absolutely nowhere near it, but only maybe an extra 5 seconds or so. So who would say they're a little bit more confident? Who wants to choose questions A? Who wants questions B?
I think Billy should go B for Brian.
That's it, yeah.
There we go, B for Brian. Brilliant. right, we'll go with you first then, Chris. I'll put 60 seconds on the clock. I'll give you a little clue. You know what, first one, Nicholas. Get on to the next one.
So just any question?
Yep, yeah, any question. Are they from here? When did they start? Well, yes or no's. If you ask something that's not a yes or no, you're not getting anything from me.
Cool.
So just rapid fire the questions. If I get something wrong, and I'm pretty uninformed, as well as. So we'll start there. Chris, your 60 seconds starts now.
Is it a male?
It is.
Is it WWE?
It is.
Is it a current champion?
It is.
Seth Rollins?
Nope.
Is it a tag team champion?
It is.
Damien Priest.
20 seconds. Maybe I've given you way more time, or maybe I've given you it too easy. But this is a starter questions. These are the easy ones. They'll get harder as they go. Second one, a little bit more difficult. Third one, surprised if you get it. Okay, so there we go. 1-0, Chris. Moving over to you, Brian.
I like before we go ahead, he says yes or no questions, and you asked your question, you went, it is, which is the gate of the yes or no.
There we go.
Carry on.
Right, you're getting yes or no for that cheek. Right, okay, 60 seconds, Billy, starts.
Are they in WWE?
Yes.
Are they male?
There. Yes.
Are they a champion?
Yes.
Are they a singles champion?
Yes.
Oh, shite. Gunther?
No.
Seth Rollins?
No.
Are they on SmackDown?
Roman Reigns? Nope.
Who the fuck is left? Rey Mysterio?
Yep, there we go. So you've got the two champions out of the way. That you did that in 59 seconds.
I'll just take my time.
How long is that?
Add a little bit of intrigue and suspense to this. Right, so we're moving to the next one. It's 1-1. I think it should get a little bit harder than this. These two, I'd say these are gone from beginner to sort of intermediate level of difficulty. I've got time, might throw in a fourth one. However, your 60 seconds, Chris, for question two starts now.
Are they in AEW?
Nope.
Are they in WWE?
Nope.
Are they in Impact?
Nope.
Are they in New Japan?
No.
Are they dead?
No.
Do they have a dead dad?
Probably.
are they retired?
Yeah, they are.
Is it a male?
It's a male.
Bret Hart?
Nope.
Honky Tonk Man?
No.
Were they on Legends House?
I think so.
Mean Gene Okerlund?
No.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Don't take that answer, yes, as gospel, but that's good.
Have they lived with DDP?
No.
Oh.
But they probably could have at some point.
I was going to go with Jake the Snake there. Greg the Hammer Valentine.
No, I'll give you one more guess. There's no time limit on this guess. Just take your time.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Is he not dead? Is he dead?
It could be, probably. No, I think he is.
No. That's morbid then. The answer, do you have any guesses before that?
Roddy Piper.
Tell you, brother. The answer is Mick Foley.
Oh.
Yeah. We automatically think DDP, it's druggies, but, you know, that's...
He's very crippled. he probably could have at some point gone. I don't know if you've seen him on... Have you ever seen the show Hot Ones?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mick Foley was on that the other day. He comes across really well. So there's my TV pick of the week. If you want to have a little watch that. Right, Billy, over to you. You can take the lead with a correct answer here. Your time starts now.
Are they male?
Yes.
Are they currently active as a wrestler?
No. Okay,
right. Are they in the Hall of Fame? WWE Hall of Fame?
I think so.
Okay.
Don't take it as gospel, though.
Right. Have they won a championship in WWE as WWE?
Yes.
Okay. Ric Flair?
No.
Have they wrestled at WrestleMania?
Yes.
That hasn't helped me because I don't remember any of them either. okay. Roddy Piper?
Nope.
Oh, fuck. Jim Duggan? Oh, he hasn't won a title. Talk us right. Does he have? Is he a legacy? Has he got a son that wrestles?
Technically he has.
Kurt Angle. No, wait.
No,
he's done as well. Technically he has.
Ask a couple more. He's been in a WWE ring anyway, getting thrown about.
Oh no!
Final guess.
Okay, he's been in a ring. Has been thrown about. Technically has a son that's in the wrestling, in the Hall of Fame.
Can I, just before you answer that, I'm going to see if he is in the Hall of Fame. yeah, he is in the Hall of Fame. He was a headliner not too long ago.
Not too long ago. Oh, fuck, I can't remember. It's good. JBL.
Any ideas, Chris?
So their son has been kicked about in a ring.
Yes.
It's fucking Goldberg.
it is.
Goldberg.
It is William Billiam Goldberg.
Brian Goldberg.
His son technically has been thrown about. Brian Goldberg. His son got thrown about by Brian Lashley. Was it SummerSlam a couple of years ago? So, yeah, keeps the score at 1-1. I don't know what that says about your chances for the hard ones. I will have a tiebreaker one where I'm going to say a few things about them in the first one. The buzzing with their name. If it gets to that,
cool.
I'll say a few things, like the question you guys are asking, and you can buzz in. But... Chris, over to you for the third one.
Okay.
This is the hardest one of the lot. I've been very sexist for this quiz. It is a male. I'll give you that at the start. So, 60 seconds. Actually, I'll give you a minute and a half for this one because it's pretty obscure. 3, 2, 1, go.
Dead.
No.
Oh. WWE?
Yes.
Mainly on Main Event?
No.
On Currently Wrestling?
No.
Do they do commentary?
Some sort.
Some sort of commentary? Hmm.
Don't get hung up on that.
Have they been a manager of the Valley?
Not predominantly. Maybe a couple of matches here or there.
Former champion?
Yeah.
Former world champion?
Nope.
Former intercontinental champion?
Nope.
Former tag team champion?
Nope.
Former US champion?
Nope.
former Universal Champion? Former NWA Champion?
Keep rattling through your WWE belts.
Ron Killens, R-Truth? Former 24/7 Champion? Former Hardcore Champion?
Yes.
Al Snow? Steve
Blackman?
10
seconds.
Funaki?
5 seconds.
The Hurricane?
And I'll just give you one more guess. Final guess. Take your time.
You said it's not dead, so it's not Crash Holly. Who's another hardcore champion? One of the headbangers, Mosh. Mosh for the headbangers.
It is not, I'm afraid. Billy, have you got any ideas?
Steve Blackman.
Nah. I've got this idea to do him from his popular YouTube channel that he's just created.
Maven.
It is Maven.
His YouTube channel is great.
Maven. It's brilliant. He just takes you completely behind the curtain. He just brings out money and goes, so this is how much I made this show. This is how much I made. This guy was a prick. Dean Malenko could suck my dick.
It's like the nice side of Ryback. It's like Ryback is like a dick. But Maven does the exact same, but does it in such a nice way that you like it.
No.
Did you see Ryback's video the other day with his loyalty check that he got for $249?
The fact that he's still getting paid anything is critical.
I know, but he's given off because they keep dead naming him. So because he's legally changed his name to Ryback Reeves, all the correspondence he gets for WWE is for Ryan Reeves. And he's just going off and he's like, they know that's not my name. They know I've changed my name. They keep calling me my old name.
He's a prick, isn't he? Nice and simple.
Right, Billy, this is your chance to win here.
Here we go. For the win.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Active.
Go. No.
Alive.
No.
Former champion in WWE.
Yeah.
Okay. Hall of Fame.
No.
Right. Okay. Heavyweight champion.
No.
Mid-card. Intercontinental champion.
No.
Okay. Tag team champion.
Yes.
Dead tag team champion. Okay. Lance Cade.
No.
I would love to if that was right.
Good one, though. That's...
So former tag team champion, dead. WWE.
30 seconds left.
Not Hall of Fame. Fuck. Did it was just only tag team champion.
Okay. No.
Hardcore champion. Grandmaster Sexy.
No. 5 seconds left and I'll give you a final guess.
Fuck knows. I
final guess. So take your time.
These games.
Give me for the win whatever name comes out of your mouth is correct. Tag team champion. The quiz. If not, we go to the tiebreaker.
Tag team champion, hardcore champion, dead. Crash Holly.
Crash Holly is your answer. And in true poetic fashion, from last week of me saying Gangrel, one answer too soon. Chris has done the exact same thing.
Yep.
By guessing Crash Holly for the last one. It is Crash Holly. Well done.
Well done, Billy. Well done.
I just realised I had two hardcore champions there. But that is poetic. I love that. I love that it's not me fucking up in the end of the quiz this time. I'm taking that as a win for me. I feel absolutely amazing about that.
You deserve it, Lewis. You deserve it.
I do, thank you. I feel like Christian with the TNT title when Billy's actually the Luchasaurus. I'm taking this W. No, but well done, mate. I'm sure we'll get some more innovative quizzes or games the next week when Chris takes a hot seat again. But Fair play, yes, fair play, yes. And Chris, thanks for letting me shamble my way through this.
We're all just shambling our way through life, so we might as well shamble our way through podcasts as well.
Is there anything else either of you would like to add before we head up the road?
No, thanks to everybody that's been listening over the last wee while. I think from looking at the Apple podcast charts, we were as high as 29th in the UK wrestling podcast charts last week. It usually takes a bit of a spike whenever there's a main show, but in lieu of a main show, we've still been keeping it relatively high. I think we leveled out for the week at like number 62 or 63, but the highest we got to was 29 last week. So thanks to everybody that is listening. I know you've looked me learn to back to us on Twitter or whatever, but it's good to know that, you know, you're at least tuning in for the first 30 seconds. So that we're keeping the algorithm going. Thanks for listening. This will be episode 17. So if we do make it to episode 20, then you know we must be doing something right. Or that means that the main show are still not putting stuff in.
I don't know. Anyway,
I think at this point we are becoming the main show though. You know, I don't want to be that guy and start firing shots.
It's a bold claim.
And
Survivor Series is coming up. This could
War
be
games. I'll throw my. If I don't mind, I'll plug my shit as well. I'm currently the fourth most listened to wrestling podcast in Slovakia.
That's the demo you want. That's Billy.
Didn't want the rest of them. SWN podcast. We do. I've got an interview or a road trip or something once a week. We do preview shows of shows that I'm going to as well. We do stuff like All About the Disco, with Discovery Wrestling, the WrestleZone podcast about WrestleZone. We've got other shit as well. We've got Patreon, so fuck you, Undertaker. You can sign up to my Patreon. It's £1. You can sign up to the Wrestling Daft one as well while you're at it. I think it all evens out. You pay the same for two Patreons instead of the Undertaker's one, you know, and there'll be less, you knows, just more shambolic podcasts like this. So I've had a blast coming back on. So I was on episode, the pilot, in episode officially one, back for 17. So I'm hoping that causes an air spike, or if it bottoms out, I truly apologise for that.
next time you're on, we'll call you, Billy.
No, I liked it. I like it, Brian. We'll keep it as Brian.
Billy's your Ricochet. No, sorry, Brian's your Ricochet to Billy's Trevor.
Trevor. Oh, I'll never forget Trevor.
It does.
Big Trev.
Billy's just shooting. Anyway, see if I can do better on Steve at this one. Enjoy your week, guys. We'll see you next week. And however you enjoy your wrestling this week, make sure you keep it daft and make sure you keep it sheety. See you later.
Cheers, Lewis.